You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. I'm Roswell DeWitt, and I'm glad that you've tuned in today. We're down to the single digits. At the time of this recording, there are only 8 days until the Bears' first practice of training camp. So yes, our countdown to camp is nearly complete, and today we conclude our defensive positional previews with a look at the Chicago Bears safeties. And to help me break down and analyze this group, I have my co-host, Nicholas Moriano, right here with me. Dude, what's going on?
Nothing much. Like, we were just talking about it right before we went live. We made it through the dead period. We're 8 days away from training camp. We'll be there. Thank goodness.
Yeah. I mean, when we started, A, the off-season episodes, B, even countdown to camp, it felt like it was going to take forever to get to training camp. And to me, I don't think it's hit me yet that it's only 8 days away. That's a week away. A week from today, I'll be heading up towards Chicago, towards Bourbonnais for practice. And yet, it feels like it's so far away. But I'm glad 8 days, it should go by pretty quick.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. We can actually see, we can see and evaluate for ourselves instead of just speculating what's going to happen this season. We can see what's going on at Bourbonnais. It's going to be great. It's much needed because we always miss football as soon as it ends.
Now, do we get kicked out of practice this year, Nick?
We were just talking about that, too. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
For those wondering why we may, the Bears have changed their policy a little bit in terms of the videos we like to share on social media, even using images sometimes as well. It's going to get kind of murky, but I'm going to push the envelope a little bit and see what happens. I told Nick my goal is to get kicked out of practice, but not really, but also kind of bend the rules and see what happens. So you'll anticipate some normal updates on Saturday. Let's see if the Bears reprimand me enough that we have to change our strategy as we go throughout training camp.
Yeah, we could do always the Patrick Finley and draw up plays and stuff, but I mean, that's Pat's thing, so I think we'll probably just leave it to him.
Yeah. All right, well, before we dive in, I do want to remind everyone listening that our goal is to reach 500 reviews on Apple Podcasts before the Bears kick off the season week one against Green Bay. At the last week when I asked for this, we're at 423 reviews, and I just checked before we went live, we're up to 448. And again, once we reach that goal of 500, we'll be selecting one lucky reviewer to receive a free Bears jersey of their choice as a token of our appreciation. You know, Bears fans, we are, and you are, the best in the world, and we really do appreciate your continued support of our show throughout the years. But all right, let's go ahead and get down to business. And I can't think of a better place to start our preview other than all-pro safety, Eddie Jackson. Entering his third year in the league, Jackson is already considered one of the best at his position. I mean, hell, earning all-pro honors in your second season and being selected to Pro Bowls each year is quite the accomplishment, quite the way to kick off your NFL career. Now, from his instincts to his range and ball skills, there's just so much to love about Eddie Jackson's game. But Nick, I want to go over to you. What makes Eddie Jackson, and I'm going to use the word special.
Special is the right word to describe Eddie Jackson. And there's so many things that make him arguably the best safety in the league. And you mentioned a couple of things, but one thing that I like in particular with Eddie Jackson is just how fluently he can get in and out of breaks. Whether it's a dig route over the middle, a post route, you can expect Eddie Jackson to be locked on or hip to hip with whatever receiver is running that route. I just watching the film just this past week, and whenever receivers ran that dig route over the middle and Eddie Jackson was at single high safety, good luck. It almost seemed like Eddie Jackson was running that route for the receiver. And whether he intercepted a pass or broke on, just made a pass breakup, Eddie Jackson was always there. And I think that's what makes him so special. Like you mentioned, Will, and just a DB that you can't really pass much on. And also another thing that kind of gets maybe unnoticed because it's not going to show up on any kind of stat sheet is disguising coverages. What the Bears like to do in a lot of NFL defenses, of course, right before pre-snap, they're going to maybe show a too high safety look. But right before the snap goes, you'll see maybe the safeties roll into the position they're actually going to be in. I thought Eddie Jackson was really good at disguising what the initial look of the Bears defense was and then getting to maybe his correct position. So I think that's something, it's underrated, it's undervalued, but that can give quarterbacks maybe an indication, okay, it's a two safety look. Oh no, Eddie Jackson's moving single high, the other safety's moving down. That can disrupt a quarterback's timing, his thinking process, and that can just lead to ultimately turnovers.
Absolutely. Good stuff there, Nick. For me, when it comes to Eddie Jackson, things that stand out, and then when I reminisced on last season, that still instantly come to mind. Number one, his attack mentality is always going after the ball, even if it's for interceptions or even coming up at a ball carrier, trying to rip that sucker away. He knows that the Bears defense thrives on those turnovers and he wants to create those himself. No matter how he wants to go about that, he definitely can do so. On top of that, something that really stands out, of course, is his IQ. He understands the defense, he understands his role, and he knows how to anticipate what the offense is going to be doing on any given play. With all of that, on top of those natural gifts and those instincts in game, he's able to play lights out. And for his range, I believe that makes him very special because if he's playing a single high in the middle of the field, he can almost take the entire field away from an offense because of his range. He can get to sideline from the middle of the field to each sideline in a hurry. So when you have Eddie Jackson back there, opposing quarterbacks have to think twice about where he's at. And of course, even that just slight hesitation because of the fear factor that Jackson has in the back end, that defense impacts what an offense is going to try to do on any given snap. But I'm curious, Nick, what are you envisioning in terms of steps forward? What can Jackson do to take his already strong play to, I'm going to say, the next level, even though we already know that he's way up there in terms of safeties, not just current safeties, but even like former safeties as well, playing at an elite level?
Yeah, I mean, just for Eddie Jackson to even elevate his play from last season, that's going to be tough to do. I mean, 6 interceptions, he had 2 touchdowns, 1 fumble recovery, 1 fumble recovery for a touchdown. I mean, he filled up the stat sheet. But I think for Eddie Jackson, maybe the next step for him, and it's not even about him, it's just getting that continuity with the secondary still. Because now there's 2 new members there with HaHa Clinton-Dix mm-hmm. and Buster Skrien. So a lot of these guys for defensive coverage, for defensive work, they always have to be on the same page. And now being the guy on the secondary along with Kyle Fuller, just making sure the other guys know their responsibilities and are in the right positions, because Eddie Jackson's going to take care of what he has to do. He really is. He knows how to, like you said, read coverages, break on the ball, make plays, cause turnovers. So I think the next step for Eddie Jackson to help this defense, because a lot of people have maybe talked about the Bears defense going to regress because there's a new defensive coordinator, there's new pieces there. Well, a good way to make that defense stay at the position that it was last season, making sure everyone's on the same page, and those 2 guys in the secondary, just HaHa Clinton-Dix and Buster Skrien, making sure that they're on page with what Eddie Jackson's doing, what Kyle Fuller's doing. I think that'll be a big part in what Eddie Jackson's maybe responsible for, because we know he's just going to take care of business.
Absolutely, Nick. I think of Jackson, if he can keep the same mindset, really, not just this year, but for years going forward, this guy really is the limit for him. He's aiming for both personal and team greatness, and I really believe that he's going to be able to accomplish everything that he's setting out for. He's a true leader. He's going to be the driving force behind the defense's success this year, a lot like he was last year. But I'm curious, Nick, what are your expectations for Eddie? Is it another all-pro type of season? Is that now the benchmark for Eddie Jackson?
I think it should be, especially because now with what he was able to accomplish last season, and he was an all-pro, he's still, again, in the same defense. And now with Chuck Pagano there, he had a guy in Ed Reed, and that was probably his benchmark every season, being able to make those all-pros, be a future Hall of Famer. Well, Eddie Jackson, even though he's only going into his 3rd season, this is kind of the pedigree that he needs to establish for himself moving forward, that he is capable of making these plays. He just has the instincts and the football IQ to play on that level consistently every season. The only thing that was kind of hindered him towards the end of the season was that injury that kept him out 2 games and the playoff game. So I think for Eddie Jackson, as long as he stays healthy, this should be the pedestal that he should keep himself to, having these all-pro seasons, making plays on the ball, being a force on that back end of this Bears defense. But yeah, I think that's the expectation for him moving forward. Look, he had 6 interceptions. Not saying that he can't get double digits, because there are times where a lot of these pass breakups, if the ball maybe just floats up a little in his direction after he pass breaks up the ball, that's an interception again. So he's definitely capable of doing what he did last season, probably even more.
It's actually pretty awesome to see this thing play out the way it did, right? Eddie Jackson drafted in the fourth round. We were like, oh yeah, he had a lot of potential, but obviously the injury at Alabama had him fall down in the draft, but we knew the potential. But to see him play this well so early, so soon in his career, which really it all started the game that you, Brandon, Nick, and Jordan, all went to against Carolina 2 years ago when he had those two touchdowns. And from that moment on, he's really solidified himself as one of the most dangerous safeties in the NFL. But when it comes to Eddie Jackson, you mentioned Chuck Pagano. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to kind of hit on this relationship. Because he did very well, being Jackson, under Vic Fangio with Ed Donatell as his positional coach. But I'm curious, Nick, with now Chuck Pagano coming in with his pedigree, playing with working with DBs, what do you envision that doing to Eddie Jackson? Do you think that's maybe the secret recipe to even help him take those steps forward that you're just talking about?
You know what? I mean, Ed Donatell, Vic Fangio, great defensive minds, and Chuck Pagano coming in with, like you said, the pedigree that he has being a defensive mind and head coach and working with DBs. You know what? Maybe it's just some of the same. Maybe that's all he kind of needs at this point in his career, and that's what Chuck Pagano wants to really do, not really change things up too much for this defense. So I think for Eddie Jackson, it's not that maybe Pagano is even better than those two guys were, because those are two guys that were established and did some really good things with this Bears defense last season and even the years prior. So I wouldn't say that Pagano's maybe like an edge up on those guys, but it does help that he does have that background coaching DBs, that he has coached a Hall of Famer in Ed Reed, that has some of the same characteristics and, you know, tendencies that Eddie Jackson does. So it could be something that maybe just kind of continues Eddie Jackson along the path that he's currently on and keeps him at that same progress. But I wouldn't say that because Pagano's coming in, this is the next step, because again, I really I value what Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell brought to this Bears defense, because it really showed last season, being the number one unit overall and a defense that had the most interceptions last season, that those two guys could get it done. But I think Pagano's going to do a lot of the same.
All right, good stuff there, Nick. Up next, we're going to go and talk about the new Bears starting safety. But first, we do need to call a quick timeout to tell you a little bit about our show sponsor, SeatGeek. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. They built the fastest way to find tickets so you can stop searching for that perfect seat and start enjoying it. So what makes SeatGeek better than the rest? Well, that's a great question. To put it as simply as possible, SeatGeek is a better process. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web, rate each on a scale of 1 to 10, and finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. That way you know what kind of view you're getting with the seats that you're looking for. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. As you know, everyone here at the Chicago Audible, we have the SeatGeek apps on our phones, our devices, and by far it's the easiest way that we've been able to shop for tickets throughout the years. We can be anywhere within a few taps, instantly find some seats. And again, if you're looking to go to a Bears game this year, I'm encouraging everyone listening to go to the Bears-Chiefs game late in December, around Christmas time, playoff atmosphere. We're going to be there. Again, all the storylines that game is going to bring to the table, it's going to be a really good time. So definitely check out SeatGeek for that. And don't forget my hack, create your own budget, set the maximum amount you want to pay, and then sort it by deal. That way you know you're getting the best seats possible. And SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first purchase. And all you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use our promo code BEARS for $10 off your first purchase. Again, that promo code is BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $10 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. Alrighty. You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm Urs Holdewitt. I'm joined by my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. We're sitting here previewing the Chicago Bears safeties as we are 8 days away from training camp. And moving forward, I think it's time to talk about that newcomer at the safety position, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who will be replacing Adrian Amos on the back end of this defense. Now, after spending 4.5 years with the Packers, Clinton Dix was traded to Washington midway through last season. As the Bears' director of player personnel, Josh Lucas, said, Ha-Ha has been graded by the Bears as a better safety than Adrian Amos over the last few years. Nick, are you buying that?
I am going to buy that. It's because of what Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the upside that he brings. He's a playmaker, man. When you really look at it between Adrian Amos, look, solid player. I think the Packers are getting, again, a solid player, but not a difference maker at the position. Hodgkin Dix, since 2014, 14 interceptions, 28 passes defended, 4 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. He makes plays on the ball, and that fits perfectly with what this Bears defense did last season, just creating turnovers. So I think with what Hodgkin Dix can do in terms of the range that he has, very similar to Eddie Jackson, be able to get from the middle of the field to the opposing, to the numbers, to the hash marks, wherever it is, he has that range as well. And just diagnosing plays, Hodgkin Dix is capable of that. I mean, he was a top 100 player a couple of years ago, one of the better safeties, but he has some down ears, I would say. Maybe not the best tackler, but I think he just has more upside than Adrian Amos. He was a guy that I think benefited Adrian Amos's from other players making plays and then maybe making an interception. Well, Hodgkin Dix makes the plays. He'll make his own interceptions as opposed to being the benefactor of someone else making a play. I think that's the biggest difference in why Josh Lucas had maybe HaHa graded higher than an Adrian Amos. So I think the Bears got a capable playmaker and just fits perfectly with what this Bears defense has been doing, which is creating turnovers.
Interesting. Now, of course, when you look at HaHa, I want to know what stands out to you, because I know you've been watching a lot of film. What stands out to you for the better, and then maybe a thing or two that he needs to still kind of work on?
Yeah, so I think what stands out for me with Hodgkin Dix, and I mentioned it, is that range. There was a lot of times where, whether he was with the Packers or with the Washington Redskins, he is a single high safety about 17 to 20 yards off the line of scrimmage, and he is just reading, reacting, diagnosing a route, and having to react to it and make a play on the ball. And you can really tell from the middle of the field to the hash mark, Hodgkin Dix is capable of getting to that position, making a play on the ball, whether it's an interception or maybe a pass breakup. He's capable of doing that. And that's why Hodgkin Dix is special. I would say special back there, because you don't typically have two safeties that can have that range to get on either side of the field. Another thing that I do like from Hodgkin Dix is when there's a catch being made, he contests it afterwards. There was a play against DeAndre Hopkins last year when Hodgkin Dix was with the Washington Redskins, where it should be an easy completion, but as DeAndre Hopkins is trying to corral the ball into his body, Hodgkin Dix is just finding a way to rip that ball out, cause a fumble, and he did that also earlier in the season against the 49ers with a tight end who had an easy completion, rips the ball away. So easy completions are not necessarily easy completions with Hodgkin Dix, because he can rip the ball away from opposing wide receivers, tight ends, ball carriers. So I like that from Hodgkin Dix. But what he does need to get better at, and it kept showing up on film, is just sometimes his pursuit angles to the ball carrier. I just don't know why he's going where the ball carrier is as opposed to where he's going to be, and that's getting him out of position. And I know he had more tackles, I think, than Adrian Amos last season, but maybe it's because he's putting himself out of position in the first place. But again, I think that needs to drastically improve in his game when he's coming down. If he is maybe 17 yards off the ball, he should have the right angle at an opposing ball carrier if he gets to the second level, because there's just a bunch of times throughout the season where I'm just questioning, like, haha, what is it? Why are you doing this? Why are you going at this angle? And then the ball carrier maybe gets 2 or 3 extra yards because of that angle that Hodgkin Dix took on. But I think that's like the biggest thing. Again, you would like to see him be a little bit more fluid on his hips on out routes as well. But for the most part, I like the upside that Hodgkin Dix brings, because with Adrian Amos, you just didn't get a lot of turnovers, but Hodgkin Dix is the exact opposite of that.
So you're willing to take maybe a few more of those blunders in hopes of having those aggressive plays, that aggressive mentality, pay off with a couple extra turnovers here or there?
Absolutely, especially with Chuck Pagano, aggressive-minded defensive coordinator, and you have the front seven that you do, you can take more risks. You can maybe jump more routes when you have a front seven that they do, where quarterbacks are not going to have as much time. I'd rather have the aggressive-minded player like a Hodgkin Dix and Eddie Jackson, who have tendencies of maybe jump routes, take those risks, get those interceptions, make those game-changing plays, as opposed to maybe more of a conservative player like an Adrian Amos, who will make the tackle. Great. But I want to see game-changing plays, and that's what can make a great defense into an elite one, and that's what the Bears did last season.
Yeah, exactly. But now let's get to this year, because obviously it's kind of hard, at least for me, to kind of pinpoint some expectations for HaHa in this defense, because he's a guy who has had a decent but not stellar career to this point. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers defenses that he was a part of, Early on in his career, they were pretty decent, but over the last few years, the talent level really hasn't been there. They've been a defense that's been giving up, in the top 10, top 12 in terms of yards allowed throughout the, you know, through the air. And then, of course, when he goes to Washington, that's not an overly great defense as well. So what do you expect from him in Chicago surrounded by much better talent?
You know, with much better talent, and like I mentioned, with Chuck Pagano being more aggressive and this defense really able to get after quarterbacks, I expect Clint Dix to have those seasons of old where he was renowned as being one of the better safeties in the league, someone that can create turnovers. I think you're going to see Clint Dix play more free. That's what I really expect, especially playing with this Bears defense and the players that they have along there. But when you have a Khalil Mack, let's say for defenses, especially a lot, this is a defense last year, and I asked Brett Coleman, the guy who did the Mitch Trubisky video, what did you see in terms of the Bears defense? What coverage did they run? A lot of cover four, a lot of cover one, a lot of cover three, but cover four is primarily the one they ran. Well, in that one, you have different formations that you can have your safeties be a little bit more aggressive. So I'm thinking now, with him being in this Bears defense, Clint Dix is just going to take more chances. Why not, when you know you have Eddie Jackson back there as well, you have Khalil Mack going after the quarterback, take those chances. If you think it's an in-breaking route, and it possibly could be, take that pursuit angle, go get that interception. But that's what I'm really expecting from Haha, especially being on a one-year kind of prove-it deal with the amount that he's getting for this season. He might as well just play balls out and just try to make as many plays as he can. He's going to want to try to earn himself a bigger contract as well. But I think this is the defense and the players that kind of do it on. And especially when you have Eddie Jackson back there, there are opportunities that can be had for Clint Dix, but I just expect him to be more aggressive, take more chances, and that will cause those turnovers to happen.
Yeah. And one stat that really stood out to me last year about Haha was the fact that he only allowed one catch on every 37 coverage snaps last year, which was much higher than any of the other Bears safeties. I believe Eddie Jackson was around 24, 23. So the fact that Haha, despite having played for two different defenses last year, was able to have such a high mark in terms of coverage snaps per receptions allowed, it's just telling. And of course, with the Bears front seven getting after quarterbacks, making his job easier, again, on defense, everything's just flowing together as one kind of organism here. But again, I think that his job's going to be easier, which is going to allow him to take more of those risks. And even if he makes some mistakes, he has guys around him that can kind of mitigate the damage. But I'm curious here, because you talked about that one-year proven deal, and we talked about it when the Bears signed him, but now that we've sat on this for a few months, and you look around the NFL and, you know, the safety market and the safeties on the, you know, the rest of the teams, I think there was a bigger market for Haha than really what the Bears gave him. Do you think he came here in hopes of winning it all, getting a championship, and then maybe proving it to the Bears to earn himself a spot here, even though the Bears, again, money-wise, that may be difficult coming in a year, but do you think so? And again, I know that they do have a relationship, Jackson and Haha Clinton Dix as well, that goes back from their days at Alabama. So I'm just curious to your take on why he's here, and maybe we should talk about that relationship between the two, because I do think that's going to play a pretty big factor, at least in terms of Haha getting acclimated into this defense probably quicker than if he went to another team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when Clinton Dix was kind of weighing his options, well, he has an opportunity to once start and be on the number one defense from the season ago. I think that was just, you know, an easy decision for him, even though he's making the money that he is, and probably the upside that he can have in this defense, knowing that Chuck Pagano is the defense coordinator. Well, he's probably thinking, I can make a bunch of plays here and then earn himself, you know, a bigger contract. It will be tough. It's going to be tough for the Bears to, sign Clinton Dix if he does have, you know, what we're kind of expecting, a good season here in Chicago. But I'm just thinking that, you know, there's so many limited opportunities. If players can chase money, they really can, and go to teams that are not going to compete. But it's ultimately what these players want is to win a Super Bowl at some point in their career. This is an opportunity for Clinton Dix to do that. He knows the Bears were, you know, I'll bring it up, a field goal kick away from probably just moving into the playoffs and maybe doing some damage there. And had they done that, this team, who knows where they could have ended up. But I think that Clinton Dix just knew, I could be a part of something special, even if it's just for a year. I think that's his mindset kind of going forward. He can put up the good stats, earn himself a payday, maybe somewhere else. But I think that was the mindset kind of going in. And like you said, Eddie Jackson being alongside there, I think that was special. They only played a season there, I believe, in Alabama. And I think Eddie Jackson actually got injured, if I'm not mistaken, at some point in that 2013 season, I believe. So they didn't even really get to, you know, play an entire season. But now that's his buddy. This is a guy that they're both technically free safeties, kind of just with that range of ball skills. It could be something special. I think PFF actually, and I know we like to use PFF with a grain of salt, but they have him rated as the number one safety duo going into the 2019 season. And I could see why. There's a lot of upside with Eddie Jackson and HaHa Clint Dix.
Well, with their affinity for Adrian Amos, maybe they would have kept it there regardless of the fact.
True.
One last thing about both starting safeties, because I'm actually curious, if do you have any like things that when we're watching them in camp in 8 days that you're going to be paying attention to? For me, one that stands out right now would be HaHa, and I just want to see how fluid he is in that defense, if he's needing extra time talking with coaches, talking with his, you know, teammates, getting on the right spot on the field, getting into, you know, his actual kind of coverage. But I'm curious, do you have anything that you're paying attention to, either be the one-on-one or how he's actually, you know, faring on defense?
You know, actually, for me, I just want to see where these guys line up, because Eddie Jackson lined up a lot in single high for the Bears, and that was primarily what HaHa Clint Dix did for the Washington Redskins and the Green Bay Packers, single high. So I want to see where Chuck Pagano is really just placing these safeties. Obviously, depending on the coverage, what zone they're running, if it's man-to-man, whatever it is, that'll dictate where these safeties are going to go. But where are they lining up on a play-to-play basis? Because both of them are, like I said, are free safeties and are played primarily single high. And then depending on the coverage, rolled over, rolled down, made a box. So, like, there's a bunch of different intricacies that go into every coverage. But I just want to see where Chuck Pagano has these safeties lined up on a play-to-play basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see exactly how that plays out. And with it being training camp, they could just be trying to, you know, tease
us. That shows
us
really
well.
Anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So, as we learned last year with the offense, didn't see anything that we saw in a regular season, which I'm not complaining about. It was a nice surprise as well. But all right, let's wrap up that discussion on the two starting safeties and let's move on to the two backups. And let's begin first with Deion Bush, who's entering his fourth year in the league and, of course, as a Chicago Bear. He did start the games last year in place of Eddie Jackson late after Jackson went down to injury. He didn't play too bad. In fact, when I went back to watch it and, you know, kind of relive it, it was very serviceable. But of course, anyone that's coming in for Eddie Jackson, there's going to be an obvious talent gap. And on top of that, Bush is a mainstay on special teams. He's appeared last year in about 60% of those snaps too. So Nick, what do you expect from Deion Bush if needed to play for an extended period of time again?
Yeah, for Deion Bush, and I think what the Bears really did is kept things simple for him. Just kind of get back, cover your zone, don't let anything in back of you. And I think that's what he did a pretty good job of last season. The only play that kind of sticks out is where he gets a little handsy on, I think it was a Minnesota Vikings game, grabs a face mask. He's in pretty good position, but I think the receiver just kind of beat him a little, out-leveraged him on the seam route, and he just gets a little handsy, grabs a face mask, gets a penalty. But for the most part, Deion Bush did a good job in coverage. Just kind of looking at a article here on what Deion Bush was able to do in zone coverage, which is what the Bears ran a lot of last season. He only allowed 40% completion percentage. That's pretty good for Deion Bush in his limited amount of snaps, 88. So I think that is what you want to see from Deion Bush, just being consistent, not being somebody that's going to hurt the team in the long run, give up those big plays. But that's what you want to see from Deion Bush. I remember it was early on in training camp, people were maybe saying that Deion Bush was someone to compete for the starting job over Adrian Amos. That never ended up happening, but it shows what the Bears kind of thought in him, what people were thinking about Deion Bush. Obviously, we know he was like a hard hitter, but we still need to see what he's about. But again, if he's not on the field, that usually is a good indication that the starting safeties are out there healthy and making plays.
Exactly. And you talked about last year's perception, because it came out through minicamp that he was starting to really turn the corner a little bit, because in the early stages of his career, it did take him some time to kind of adjust to the NFL. But Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell really did a good job of being patient with him, coaching him up. And they did seem last year that he was really starting to take strides in this defense. And I think we saw that a little bit late last year, because when you're looking at the playoff game and when he had to play, he actually didn't have a bad game. I remember a few plays that he made, and to me it was pretty promising that he was able to perform in obviously the Bears' biggest game in nearly a decade. The moment wasn't too big for him, obviously, in an ideal situation. Eddie Jackson's out there. But again, the fact he was able to step up in that regard late in the season after having to pretty much just play special teams all year was pretty, again, promising to say the least. But you talked about things that he brings to the table, big hitting. I mean, we saw a lot of that last year when he's on the field, either on special teams or on defense. He's always wanted to punish whoever has the ball, loves to impose his will. Decent tackler. Obviously, he has some room to improve that as well, but his tackling form overall isn't that bad. He does take some decent angles to the ball carriers as well. And I seen him come in on a blitz or two and was able to get a sack. So for me, Deion Bush, that may have been even last year as well, because all these memories are, again, you don't have many to draw from here from Deion Bush. But still, things that I've seen throughout his career that I know he has kind of up his sleeve. But yeah, and again, obviously we hope he's not on the field. But is there anything else, Nick, about Deion Bush that you would like to bring up? Because obviously, again, he's entering his fourth year. We know a little bit about him, but not a ton. And again, the most relevant glimpse that we saw is the end of last season.
Yeah, the end of last season is right. But I think for Deion Bush to continue to get better, it's just to kind of hit the film room and see if he can maybe be that. I wouldn't say maybe the next safety kind of to replace Ha Ha Clint Dix, but if he wants to put himself in position to be even contention for that, he just needs to be able to make more plays on the ball. And I think that's what will get him a position, whether it's with the Bears moving forward or some other team. That's going to be the big thing going, you know, in his career now, just being able to diagnose these routes, dislodging the football with those big hits that he is capable of, you know, giving to opposing receivers. But we'll see with Deion Bush. I think we're obviously going to see a lot of him in the preseason, see how he fares against, you know, some of these lower guys on the depth chart for each team, but not expecting too much, obviously, because I'm hoping that Eddie Jackson, Ha Ha Clint Dix stay healthy and do their jobs.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the other safety on this roster, also from the 2015 NFL draft, DeAndre Houston Carson. To this point of his career, DHC, he's just been a special teamer. Again, not a bad role for any sixth-round pick in the NFL. I mean, a lot of sixth-round picks don't make it throughout training camp, and here he is 4 years later still on the Bears roster. Nick, do you have any expectations for DHC? It's really hard to discuss him on defense just due to the fact that he's played about 3% of the snaps over the last 2 years.
Yeah, about 3% on defense, but he has been a big contributor on special teams, like you said, 61.18% on special teams, and I think that's what you want to see out of DHC in this season. He sometimes came in, I remember in the Rams game, in these dime packages when you get six DBs on the field. I think Jared Goff knew that and kind of targeted him a couple of times there, but again, he's not someone that typically is going to play on the defense on a down-to-down basis, and that's for the best, but nothing really much about DHC. I know someone within the Bears organization was talking to him a couple days ago, says he loves to watch film. He's a big film watcher, loves to diagnose what people are doing. So maybe that's next up for DHC, just kind of going down, maybe being a coach later on in his career. But that's something that I thought was interesting from DHC, just someone who's always watching film, he said, more than anybody on the team, according to the guy within the Bears organization. I'm like, wow, really, DHC? We don't hear a lot about him, but that is something that you want to hear from a guy that's, one, not the starter, someone who primarily plays on special teams, but at least he's putting in the work and trying to put himself in positions to, you know, maybe make a play here or there. But he's not being asked to be, you know, a starter or anything like that, but at least he's putting in the work on a day-to-day basis.
Indeed, and that's really all I think we need to say on DHC in terms of here. Again, ideally, if he's on defense, it's once in a while in some spot situations, maybe some dime packages like you mentioned. But all in all, his role should be primarily still special teams heading forward. All right, moving on to the next tier. The Bears only have two guys other than these four on the roster heading into training camp. You have Doyin Jabowu. Is going to be my best guess there. We'll figure that out. I don't get paid to pronounce names, but also I do, so I understand this. But he's an undrafted free agent out of Fort Hays State. He's a two-time All-America selection. He finished his career with 276 tackles, 27.5 of those for a loss, 5 sacks, 9 interceptions, and 26 pass breakups. Then you have Josh Simmons. He's an easier name to pronounce. But B, he's an undrafted free agent out of Limestone College. Tall guy, 6'3". Finished his career 224 tackles, 15 interceptions, and 4 forced fumbles. All right, Nick, I want to know, anyone on this duo that you think has the best chance? I'm just going to say practice squad. I don't think DHC nor Deion Bush is going to get uprooted here. You can change my mind if you need to. Or do you have any strong feeling towards one guy or another? I'm in wait-and-see mode here. Both are small school guys. Really hard to project how they'll transition. So I'm going to wait 8 days. But how about you?
I think that's probably the best bet, waiting 8 days and seeing, oh, who's this number 47 that's making, oh, that's Jimbo, whatever his last name is. It's that guy. Okay, maybe he makes plays here and there. But like you said, I don't have these two guys uprooting either Bush or Houston Carson to make the 53-man roster. The Bears, the last two seasons, have had four safeties make the 53-man roster, and I think we know which four are going to make it. But we'll just have to wait and see 8 days from now if either of these two guys can make some plays on the ball, are able to stay, you know, with the tight ends and coverage, those one-on-one matchups. But yeah, I think wait and see is the best bet for these two guys.
It's going to be interesting to see how quickly either can pick up an NFL defensive scheme. Again, you have that with any position, especially from an undrafted and, of course, a smaller school situation. But for them, they're in the back end of this defense in terms of the roster and, of course, even the depth chart. It'd be interesting to see if they can pick up some of this defense, or if they're going to be like when the third team offense is out there, or if they're even going against the second team off and on, if they're able to get exploited, you know, deeper down the field by some of the Bears playmakers on offense, that some of those guys do have a little bit more stronger understanding of the system than maybe these two guys would have as well. All right, Nick, I do need to make things official though. So for all intents and purposes, who do you have making that final roster?
See, I have Eddie Jackson.
No way.
Haquan Dix. Yeah, no, these are surprises, I know. And then Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson as the four safeties that make the 2019 53 NFL roster.
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to say cosign because I don't need to rehash all those names. Obviously, that's going to be the four. No reason to rehash that. So let's just jump right into our final segment of the show, our big picture questions. And, of course, we have to start with some over-under here. So I'm going to start off six interceptions over or under for Eddie Jackson, which, of course, was his mark last year.
We'll go over for Eddie Jackson. I think he gets one more with seven.
I was around that seven mark as well. I think that if it's under, from a stat perspective, that may be a little bit, you know, of a down thing. But also, I don't think he's going to get as tested as often last year. But we'll see. Maybe HaHa imposes his will a little bit, and they start, you know, trying to look elsewhere, and then Eddie Jackson can definitely clean up on the back end as well. So yeah, I'm going over, but even if it's under, if he's at five, it's not like it's a terrible year or anything.
No.
All right. Over under, four touchdowns for Eddie Jackson. Two in year one, three in year two, so I set the bar at four.
I'm going to go under on the four there. I know it's going up there, but that would be a hell of an accomplishment for Eddie Jackson. I know he has more touchdowns right now than some of the 2017 wide receiver classes, some of the guys that were in that class. So, I mean, I know he has a tendency to get these touchdowns, but I won't say he gets four right under that. We'll go with three again.
He has more than Adam Shaheen, right? And they're drafted in the same year.
Does he? I think he does.
I think he does too. I mean, I'm going to have to double check here, but I'm 99% sure that he has more touchdowns than Adam Shaheen. But for me, I'm going to go, can I just say even on four? I think four is going to be the number, or at least I hope it would. I think everyone envisions that being a great scenario. But even if he gets three again on defense or two again on defense, maybe there's one on special teams, maybe there's one on offense. You know how Matt Nagy likes to get creative. So for me, I like four. I like the, you know, it's like one of those things like when you're in grade school, like, you know, complete the pattern. Again, he had two his first year, three his second year. So obviously he's going to have four in his third year in the league.
And that's how many Adam Shaheen has in his 2 years, four touchdowns.
Oh, so they're tied.
They're tied right now.
That's why I was 99% sure, not 100.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, over or under, Nick, 17 pass breakups for Eddie Jackson. I know I'm Eddie Jackson heavy, but I think this is pretty fun. Last year, he had 15.
We'll go even. He'll have, we'll go 17. I think that's a high number in itself right there. So we'll stick with 17.
Yeah, I'm going under. I have 16, just one per game. I think that's a pretty good average. Of course, that's a little bit more. Well, actually, I was going to say a little bit more than he had last year, but he did sit out the last couple weeks. So technically, he did have more on a per game basis. So maybe I just talked myself out of it. I'm going over 18. We're done. Moving on.
There we go.
All right. Over or under, Nick, four interceptions for HaHa. He averages about three over his last 3 years.
Four interceptions for HaHa Clint Dix.
You're going to go even again, aren't you?
I want to go even. Yeah, I think four would be a great number for HaHa Clint Dix, especially coming into, again, his third team in 2 years now. I think four is a good number for HaHa Clint Dix.
I'm going under. I think, you know, his average is three. I think three is about where it's going to fall. But also with, again, we talked about this defense being one entire, you know, cohesive unit. But again, that Bears front seven should really allow, and of course the other secondary players, should allow HaHa to have his best season or one of his best seasons. So if they want to go after him a little bit, and he's a little bit more aggressive with it, he could end up with four or more. But I'm going to say under, just because I'm going to go with the law of averages here. So he's going to have three. All right, Nick, one final over-under. 150 total tackles from the safety duo of Eddie Jackson and Clinton Dix. Last year, I did the numbers. It was 143 combined. Although, keep in mind that HaHa did play with two different defenses last year, but they will be sharing the snaps. So, but I have 150 total tackles as the bar.
You know, we'll go under, and that's a good thing when the safeties aren't making tackles, because that means the running backs or whoever it is not getting past the front seven. We're going to go under that 150.
Same. Exactly. To your point as well, I thought the front seven's going to do a good job of keeping everything in their kind of territory, and the safety's job won't need to be, at least for HaHa's case, as important or as pivotal as it's been in years past. Eddie Jackson knows what's up. He knows what's in front of him. All right, true or false, Nick? HaHa is going to get his first career touchdown this year.
That is true.
Okay. True or false, Eddie Jackson's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, man, he was on pace to do that last season. You know, it's probably going to be either Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald again. So I'm going to say false, but it's going to be close.
I'm going to say true. I think year three, last year he's playing at a higher level than a guy like Ed Reed played at the same point of his career. And now you bring in a Pagano. You bring in a team that is wanting to finish that business that was started last year. I think that he's going to be playing with a chip and attitude, even more so than we saw a year ago. And if he can stay healthy and play all 16 games and play to the same degree, like you said, he was on pace last year, so why not do it again? So I'm going to say true. But again, there is someone else on this Bears defense that could take it away from him in Khalil Mack. But we'll see exactly how that all shakes out. Not a bad problem to have by any means. But it's time for, Nick, our bold prediction. So I'm going to let you go ahead and start this one off.
Well, you kind of alluded to it. I was surprised looking at Hogland Dick's stats and seeing that he doesn't have a touchdown yet in his career. Well, you kind of mentioned it there. I think bold prediction, he doesn't just get one touchdown. He gets two touchdowns this season, one fumble recovery, and take it back for a score, and then a pick six. And that's going to happen with this Bears defense. Again, more opportunities are going to be there for HaHa Clint Dix. Not in years past where he's been playing on some mediocre defense with the Green Bay Packers or the Washington Redskins. There's going to be opportunities where balls are going to be in the air, batted passes, where people are forcing fumbles. And HaHa Clint Dix has shown in his career that he's been in the right place at the right time to make those opportunities and turn them into, you know, turnovers. So I think this is the year where you'll see HaHa Clint Dix end up in the end zone twice.
All right, my bold prediction, Eddie Jackson's going to have 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, become the best safety in the league, no question about it. And of course, if he does that, Defensive Player of the Year, it's going to just follow suit. But for me, 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, capping off a hell of a year for Eddie Jackson. So yeah, that's a little lofty in terms of numbers, but that's why it's a bold prediction. So 5 TDs, 8 interceptions. And
we
I do think
high expectations for these safeties. I like it.
I know, right? I still think, though, if he's going to get 5, one or two need to come either on offense or special teams in some trick play or some just weird formation that Matt Nagy throws out there. Imagine having Eddie Jackson line up as wide out for, like, one play or give him, like, a jet sweep. That would be pretty fun.
Also, well, Matt Nagy did that. He did that a couple of seasons or a couple plays last season where Eddie Jackson's just kind of motioning, and you see the defense are like, okay, well, Eddie Jackson on the field, let's key in on this guy because, again, he makes plays. He knows how to get into the end zone. You just got to keep an eye on him. I would not be surprised if he ends up in the end zone on offense.
We'll see. Nick, you talked about it. We have some lofty expectations for the Bears defense, the Bears as a whole, but right now, definitely the safety. So what's going to be your confidence level in this group heading into the 2019 season?
And obviously this is a group where there's not as many players at the position. Obviously you have 2 starting safeties. So I'm just going to base it on those 2, and I guess we'll throw Deion Bush there. But the confidence level, especially what both HaHa Clint Dix and Eddie Jackson bring to the table, I'm really confident in this group. I'm going to give them a 9.8, just with what the intangibles they bring, the range that they each have. You have a cover 2 look, they have the whole back end covered. There's not a single place on that field where those 2 safeties can't get to. Or if even it's a single coverage and you have one guy who's playing more of a robber look who can pick off those deep in routes, both of them are capable of that. I really like the upside, not to, diminish what Adrian Amos was doing here with the Bears, solid player, But HaHa Clinton Dix creates more opportunities for this Bears defense to get even more turnovers than it did last season, because you have a very aggressive player in an aggressive defense with an aggressive-minded defensive coordinator. I like that, and I have very high confidence that this duo is going to be hard to pass deep against, and there's just going to be turnovers waiting to happen if you really test either one of these two guys.
Absolutely. I put mine down in my notes, 9.8, so you're in the same exact ballpark as I. We talked about it. Even Deion Bush, if he had to play for a couple of weeks, he's a pretty decent, you know, depth piece to have at this position. So I'm not really too worried about overall depth here. Of course, you can always want more, but I think at this point we might be getting a little greedy. But you hit on all the good points there, the number one being that if Eddie Jackson and HaHa Clinton Dix are both out there, I mean, that shrinks the field tremendously for any offense going up against it. And, of course, we already know what Eddie Jackson can do as a playmaker. We've seen HaHa do it off and on throughout his career, and now being surrounded by a better defense, he should be able to kind of return to form like his early years, like you mentioned, and, of course, just play very aggressive football, which in turn is going to just really create more opportunities maybe for the Bears offense, which of course makes things a little bit more interesting in terms of long-term projections for this team. But yeah, for me, the safeties by themselves, 9.8, really not any worries in the world, but I don't think I've given a 10 yet, so I'm not going to do it this time by. Any final thoughts, Nick, before we wrap up?
Well, I guess maybe the most, well, I wouldn't say the most interesting countdown to camp episodes coming next week with special teams, but like we said, we're 8 days away from training camp. I cannot wait to see what these safeties are able to do in Chuck Pagano's defense. It's going to be fun to watch. And yeah, it's 8 days away.
8 days. 8 days. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank you all for your continued support of the Chicago Audible. If you would like to help, well, I was going to say three, but Brandon's not here, but he is part of the team. So three fellow Bears fans, make sure to leave your review of our show on Apple Podcasts. Again, we'll be selecting one reviewer to win a free Bears jersey of their choice. You can get Khalil Mack, you can get Eddie Jackson, you can get the new 100th anniversary jersey. So definitely check that out. And once we reach 500, we will select someone for one of those jerseys. But up next, like Nick mentioned, we have our final preview before training camp. It's going to be a quick one, but it's going to be on the Bears special teams. But in the meantime, I highly encourage you to go back to check out any position on offense or defense that you may have missed. But until next time, Bear down, Chicago.